That mute button. That mute button just moved on its own in the pocket. I know I checked that before I came out. All right. So anyway, the order of services for Divine Service 3, not Divine Service 4, which is the page number that's indicated in the bulletin. But if you're going to use directly from the bulletin, which is what I would recommend since it's there, you'll be fine. So we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
To sing praises to your name, Most High.
The righteous flourish like the palm tree. They are planted in the house of the Lord.
They flourish in the courts of our God.
They still bear fruit in old age.
They are ever full of sap and green.
To declare that the Lord is upright.
He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
To sing praises to your name, O Most High. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this morning is taken from the book of Ezekiel, beginning at chapter 17, verse 22. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit, and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. Great
is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
And his greatness is unsearchable.
On your wondrous words I will meditate.
For this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. We know that if the tent which is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which is, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let us join in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I would imagine all of you recall the story of the boy in the dike. I remember as a kid, I can even see the book and the cover in my head, the children's book, you know, the really thin books and nice illustrations. But in the story, basically, you have a small boy who wants to help around the farm, wants to help his mother, but he's not tall enough to reach things in the cupboard. He wants to help his father and brother with taking care of other things, but he's not strong enough. He's just told to go off and play, basically. And so he goes off, and there he, on his journey, he discovers that the dike that's keeping the dam from bursting has got a leak, and there's no one there, so he plugs the leak with his finger and calls for help until someone finally comes. And of course, he has saved the town. This little child has saved the village from what could have been a disaster. Y'all remember that story, right? I think I got it right. I didn't go looking for that book. I think I have it, but I didn't go looking for it to, you know, double check it, but I'm depending on my memory a bit. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, and he talks in parables as we read from Mark, that is how he spoke, and he didn't speak to his disciples in any other way than parables. Now, when I say disciples, I don't mean just the 12, but all those who came to hear Jesus. But to his 12, he would explain all of them when they were away privately. Kind of interesting. I once heard someone say, you know, Jesus spoke in parables and stories that people understood. And you know, that's not really true at all. I mean, it's true he spoke in parables, but they weren't easy to understand. But they did have illustrations that people understood. They just didn't know where he was going with those stories. But he would always explain it to his disciples so that they would know. And they would remember the things that happened after his death, his resurrection and ascension, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reminds the disciples of all these teachings that Jesus had given them, whether it was in parable or just straightforward language. But in this one, we hear Jesus comparing the kingdom to certain things, or the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and he sleeps and rises at night, and all that during that time, man's not doing anything to cause any growth, but nevertheless, growth takes place. And pretty soon there is the crop, and it's ready at some point for harvest. And that's when the man goes to work, and he puts the sickle to the crop, and he harvests. And then we hear the story also where Jesus says, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? The one is, the kingdom of God is as if a man. And the other one is, what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? And again, we hear Jesus speaking of something that grows, right? The mustard seed becomes this big plant that all the birds can come to and rest in. We're not talking about something that is harvested, but we're talking about something that's different, after, maybe even after the harvest, sort of. But in the case of the mustard seed, we hear something that is so small, just so tiny, and yet it becomes this big plant. And what a marvelous thing it is. Now, when we recall God and his grace, mercy, and love, his word that has come to us since the beginning, first in verbalized by those who would re-speak that word over and over again. They spoke it the same way. They said the same words until they were able to finally, through the Lord's gift of writing, able to print all that stuff down. And so we have God's word, not in a big, great, massive work, though I guess it really was when it was first being printed, because you had to. They didn't have the printing press where we can put it all in a book this size and even smaller than this. But it It's never been really presented to the world in a marketing sort of way. Just plain and simple, just a book filled with pages. Everybody pretty much recognizes a Bible when you go into a house and you see somebody's Bible sitting on the coffee table or on a bookshelf. They're easy to spot because we know what it is. We see it and we know what it is because we have one ourselves. But there's no fancy illustration on the cover. There's nothing special on it. Might say Holy Bible on it. My new Lutheran Study Bible sadly doesn't say anything on the cover or the back. I guess that first edition that came out, they just didn't bother with wanting to put anything on the cover. Later editions did. But that's all right. It looks like every other Bible that I've ever seen, plain. Unobtrusive. It just sits without bugles coming out or anything that would be marketable about it. But we know the Word of God. And it comes to us in plain words that have been translated for us into our language and for other people into their language. And it's a wonderful work that God has given us. It is the story of God's love for us, written down in different forms, different kind of literary forms, history, poetry. You know, we've got all kinds of different ways in which God has revealed His Word to us, and that Word, we are told, is profitable for learning, for correction, and it is profitable then for us in terms of salvation. Because it is words, God, and the Holy Spirit works through this word to bring about faith. Just a simple word, just a little word spoken to someone concerning Jesus and his work is all that is needed to be like that seed, those seeds that are planted in the field in which a growth takes place, a crop is grown. And that's what the Word of God does. Now, we know from Jesus that is one of the ways in which Jesus talks about how the kingdom of God grows. Like the man who goes out and scatters the seed, some of it lands on good ground, some of it on hard ground, some of it on rocks. But it grows, and depending on the condition, it sounds like, from where the seed falls, kind of depends on whether or not that's going to be a fruitful growth. So we hear then from God's own word that His word does the work. We are just called to be those who scatter that seed out into the field or into the world. But God's not dependent on us coming up with maybe some clever arguments or clever rebukes to people who want to challenge your faith or my faith. We're not called to do that. We're not called to be frivolous with the Word of God, but to be serious with the Word of God, because there is no other way by which one comes to faith other than hearing the gospel proclaimed. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of Scripture. Those are the words we hear both in the Old Testament and New Testament. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. How beautiful are the feet of the one who carries good news. And it truly is that way. When we hear of the kingdom being compared to a mustard seed, I'm kind of drawn to what is that really in reference to? It's not in reference to a faith that is as big as a mustard seed, but this is speaking about really our Lord Jesus, the reign of God which comes into the world. That's where the kingdom of God is. That's what Jesus says. He says to us, though, in this parable, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? You know, we recall that when Jesus entered Jerusalem on that final week before He died for us, that the crowds came out and they praised Him and sang hallelujahs and hosannas to this Jesus, whom they believed to be the long-expected Messiah. They even sang that, Hosanna in the highest, this is, after all, the Son of David. That's what they believed. They believed a time was entering into the world that Israel would have a wonderful new history unfolding for them, in which they were no longer under rule of Rome, or anyone else for that matter, except for God. That David's throne would be an eternal throne was something that was expected. But things didn't work out that way. Jesus doesn't come with power and might as one who is a conquering hero. He doesn't come that way into Jerusalem at all, does he? No, he rides on the foal of a donkey. He rides in meekly, not as a warrior king, but as a servant. He comes in to Jerusalem. But even before that, God acts the way he has often acted, by choosing those things in the world which are small or weak to demonstrate his power, which is not weak at all. Not weak at all. For God, when he enters into the world as a man, doesn't enter into this world strong and mighty, does he? I mean, we tend to say, well, he enters into the world as an infant in the city of Bethlehem. And we could say, yes, that's right. But guess what? He entered it before then. He entered it as a man, or as a human being, in his conception. At that moment, that very tiny seed is growing. And it's growing for you and me. It's growing for the whole world. But it does so in a quiet manner. No one knows. No one knows initially except for Joseph. And Joseph, well, he's not understanding what's taking place here, other than the angel has told him, don't worry, Joseph, this is the work of God. This is the Holy Spirit that has caused this conception. Don't put her away like you're planning on. Don't divorce her. No, go ahead with the marriage. Do so. As they were only engaged at that time. And Joseph does so with faith. He doesn't doubt this word, but he does follow through, and he marries Mary, and the kingdom of God grows silently, quietly in the womb of Mary. And then he is born in Bethlehem, the smallest of places, not in Jerusalem where the palace is, but in Bethlehem, the city of David. Not a big cosmopolitan city like other cities, like Galilee, Nazareth, where he would eventually live. But in this little tiny city that seemed insignificant. And we are told he doesn't even come into this world, born into this world, in a house or a home, and where there's perhaps a nice cozy fire and a nice bed for his mother and father, but instead is born in the stable among the lively cattle. Unpretentious, unassuming, nothing about it would ring out to the world, the kingdom of God has arrived. There are no trumpets. Well, there are the angels, but they only come to some shepherds. Not the well-to-do, not even the prophets, not even the priests, leaders of the land who have been perusing the scriptures and trying to figure out when it will be, when will this happen? Except for some in Herod's palace who said, well, you know, when Herod was trying to figure out after the wise men came there and said, where is this new Savior, this new King of Israel? And when he sent them off, before he sent them off, Herod talked to his religious leaders, and they said, well, you know, prophecy says he'll be born in Bethlehem. So we know how that story goes, but nevertheless, we know that the kingdom of God has arrived because Jesus is the Son of God. Where Jesus is, there is the kingdom of God. Where the word of God is proclaimed, there too is the kingdom of God. We don't see the heavens open up here today, and yet they are. We don't see it happening visibly, but we know it by faith. We know it is so. Where the word of God is proclaimed, there in that place is the kingdom of God. There in that place the kingdom reigns. Even where that word perhaps isn't looked at in a special way or in terms of looking at it as God's word, nevertheless, when it is proclaimed, it is so. Because the Holy Spirit is working there with that word. The Holy Spirit does all of this so that the kingdom may grow, that the branches will get bigger and more spread out, and that more and more of the birds of the world, which are the people of the nations, come to that place. That is what is going on now. That is how the kingdom grows. It grew in a very inauspicious way. It grows nevertheless. And God continues to use what looks like weak in order to demonstrate His strength, even on that day when Jesus comes in to Jerusalem with accolades, with those people shouting and rejoicing, because now God is starting His kingdom. Yes, it is, but it's not going to be the way they thought. This we will see as Jesus proceeds through that week, as He is betrayed by one of His disciples, as He is taken captive as a criminal, even though He has committed no crimes. He is taken, drugged before the Sanhedrin, where He is before really the kangaroo court of all times, where false witnesses are brought forward one after another until finally the high priest says, well, are you or are you not the Son of God? And when Jesus confesses the truth of such words, the high priest rents his garments and he screams, blasphemy! But they don't have the power to put him to death. So they bring Rome into the matter so that Rome can do the dirty deed. God looks pretty weak, doesn't He? Wouldn't God, now this is the way the Romans would have thought, and this is why the gospel is foolishness to the Gentiles. Wouldn't God, if He was truly God, be powerful and would not allow this to happen? Wouldn't God do that? I mean, we've got our gods, and look at them. They were powerful people. Some of them were demigods like Hercules, but you've got Zeus, you've got all these others, and they're powerful. They would never let mankind have power over them. And yet, what we don't see is the warfare that inflicts all of us. Now, we hear a lot in today's time, and it's just not in our country, but it's really in a lot of nations today, that people are shouting for equity. We need equity in the world. In other words, people need to all basically be equal. Equal in wealth, equal in status, equal in, you know, what it is. Well, guess what? God says that equity has existed a long time because all of you are sinners. Even My covenant people are sinners. There is not one person who has not broken the law. Therefore, you are all equal under the law and you are all guilty. talk about your equity. And what is the reward for such a thing? It's not really a reward at all. It's punishment. It's to be separated from God and His love forever. To be consigned to outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, Jesus says. That is equity. But God doesn't want that for us, does He? He doesn't want that to happen to us. And I don't mean just Christians or His covenant people, the Jews. No, He doesn't want it to happen to anyone. He wants all people to turn to Him. Turn from your evil ways and live. Why are you going to die? I don't want that. That's what God says. I don't want it. That's what Jesus says. He wants all people to believe. But it's only in believing that we receive the work of our Lord Jesus. And even belief is not our doing. It is God's work. He has done that for us. We are here today because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Not in any big spectacular way did He come into us. There wasn't any visible sign where the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. There was no voice from heaven that said, "This is my child, this is my son or my daughter, in whom I am well pleased, I have put my spirit upon him or her." None of that happens, and yet it does happen. In baptism, it does happen. Just because we don't visibly see it with our eyes, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. We don't see Christ's body and blood in the bread and wine, in with and under. But it is there, and we believe it. Why? Because Jesus said, "It is my body. It is my blood." We don't perceive it with our senses, but we believe because the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts this true faith. It's how God works in this world. In quiet ways, He sends missionaries out into the world. He sent the apostles out into the world, 12 in number, and yet there were others that heard that word, and they too went out into the world. And they continue to go out into the world because that little mustard seed keeps growing, those big branches, and there's so much room there for all the birds of the world to come and nest and rest. What a wonderful God we have, that the kingdom of God should be growing in such a way. Not by the power of armies, you know. That's how one religion got its going, the faith of Islam. Muhammad wasn't a peaceful preacher. He was rejected, and he went off and he built, got an army and went and conquered the other Arab nations. That's not how the kingdom of God was to grow. Jesus told His disciples, "Go. Don't go with a lot of stuff with you. You don't need a sword. You don't need any of that. But just go. Go into the villages. Go into the town. And wherever anybody's willing to listen, speak to them. And where they don't, knock the dust off your feet and move on, because there's others that will hear." But the wonderful thing is that word has been spread. And even though those disciples may live, guess who stayed behind? The Holy Spirit, and yet not really stayed behind. But where that word is, the Holy Spirit works. Where that word is the kingdom of God. And perhaps somewhere down the line, maybe somebody remembered, especially maybe there was a sickness or a death, and someone who heard Paul or one of the other apostles proclaiming Jesus and the resurrection from the dead said, "You know what? I believe that." Where'd that faith come from? It came from the proclamation of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working through that Word to finally change that heart. We don't necessarily know how it takes place or how it happened, but we just know it does. So like the good farmer, we go out and we spread that word. As small as it may seem to the world, as unpowerful as it may seem, God doesn't enter into the world with a vast army slaying people with that army, but with the word of God, which is a double-edged sword. That is the word that slays the hearts of men and women alike, and children as well. It takes us down to our knees and we call out to God. And He hears. And He hears. Jesus, in His weakness, shows the strength of God. He has done everything right. To those who wickedly crucified Him, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He fulfilled all of Scripture when He died and He said, "It is finished. It is finished." And then the reign of God burst into this world, and the world didn't even know it, because darkness came upon the world, and the earth shook, and the graves opened, and the temple curtain was rent in two. Yet the world went on its way, not understanding any of these things, perhaps only thinking it was an earthquake. And the darkness, well, the darkness, that's not explainable. It really isn't. Other than the world and its sadness became dark, because the Creator of the world died. The weakness of God is a powerful thing, more powerful than any atomic bomb, nuclear power, or whatever you want to say. It is more powerful than the sun, because it is the Creator we are speaking about, who created all things and holds it all together. Holds it all together. This small way of coming into the world, this small way has increased. We have seen the fruit. We are the fruit. And one day, guess what? It's harvest time. And Jesus comes back and He raises us all up with new glorified bodies, and we will stand in His kingdom forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Most High, we give thanks to You that You have planted Your holy word among us. Give healthy growth to Your church that she may weather the storm winds of this world, steadfast in Christ, ever bearing the fruits of love and singing praises to Your name. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord God, Your Holy Spirit plants Your word and causes it to sprout and grow as it pleases You. Bless the preaching and teaching of Your word that Your kingdom may be extended, and give us thankful hearts to marvel at Your work. Send faithful laborers into Your field to scatter Your seed here and abroad, and in due time a harvest may be reaped for your glory. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, the great I am, what you have spoken you will surely do. We implore you for the sake of Christ and your many precious promises to bless and defend our homes, to make the efforts of parents fruitful in the teaching of their children, and to preserve them in the saving faith of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, ruler of all, graciously regard those who have been set in positions of authority among us. Guide them by your Spirit to be high in purpose, wise in counsel, firm in good resolution, and unwavering in duty, that under them we may be governed quietly and peaceably. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we are bold to ask for all things because you have given us your Spirit as a guarantee. Hear us as we intercede in Jesus' name for those in every need, especially Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Larry Foltz, Jan Johnson, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Sue and Dean Sauberly, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Habman, Pat Bias, Carl and Jackie Roche, Robert and Donna Knoth. Lord, in your mercy. O God, we groan under many burdens in this earthly tent and long to be clothed with your eternal life, which will swallow up all mortal sorrow. Give good courage to your servants to walk by faith and not sight, to mourn our dead in the hope of the resurrection, and to make it our aim to please you while here in the body, until at last we are at home with Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, from Israel you have taken a tender sprig, your chosen Messiah, Jesus, and planted him on the mountain for our salvation. By his death on a tree you have reversed the curse of sin and brought life again to dry, dusty souls. Do not let us despise your Christ, his humility, or his suffering, but bring us with all your Christians into the shade of his eternal rest. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please see.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand, poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on His chosen disciples. For all this, the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup. And when he had blessed it, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood shed for you in the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with the peace of excuse me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace and joy. Please rise.
Thou hast prepared.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for watching over our brother Jeff. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to watch over him, place your holy angels over him to watch him and guard him. We pray, Lord, that the doctors are able to finally figure out what is going on with him, that they may help him. But we know, Lord, we are all in your hands, so we give you thanks and we pray, praise and glorify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Please be seated.
Good morning.
I
want to invite everybody back for coffee and donuts, or what do we have today?
I have no idea. We're having coffee, we know. Coffee and juice. Okay. I don't know what else is back there.
Well, what else is back there, we'll have some of that. This will be after our service. And then we'll have our adult Bible class and Sunday school. I want to remind the council meeting, the council people of our meeting on July the 11th, and then our voters meeting on July the 25th. We want to wish a happy birthday to Judy Stallings on June the 13th and Dee Beiser on June the 15th. And happy anniversary to Robert and Alice Galabias and Keith and Christy Gonzalez. That's on the 13th and the 15th. Would there be any other announcements from the congregation?
I want to remind them, tomorrow, as we know, we're having the 42 and Domino's. I don't think you knew about it. The Methodist Church has been having it, and they are fixing their dining hall up and leveling it. And so for the next 3 weeks or so, next 3 Mondays from 1 to 4, there'll be 42 and Domino's, the group that's been in the Methodist Church. So some of the ones that y'all will play, I think there may be a table of chicken for too. So starting tomorrow, I will be opening up the church before 1 o'clock, and you don't have to bring any refreshments. If you want something to drink, bring it yourself, and soda water, whatever. Okay?
Okay.
Mind you, I noticed there's a domino play over there. I may not know about it.
Well, there were lots of domino players last week, and we had a good time. I want to thank everybody who participated and worked and helped make the friendship study a success. My cousin called me last night from Ruffles, and she said she's ready to come back next year. She said they had a great time, and they were looking forward to the next time they could come visit with us.
The hamburgers were good, too.
They were.
Mm-hmm. Well, blue sauce and salt and pepper helped. But it was a fun time for all. It was very relaxing. I can say that for the first time in a long, long time, because usually I'm running around crazy. And it was so, I didn't realize. So it was a great day, and we had 5 visitors, our guests, and that was a fun time. Also, I'd like you to keep my Uncle Johnny Ruther in your prayers. His macular degeneration has really maximize on the next generation. Thank you.
Okay. If there's no more announcements, you have one?
Yeah, I just want to say I was really blessed this week to go in for Jan at the district convention. And I thank Jan and Pastor and the rest of the congregation for entrusting me to do that. I thought overall a really good convention.
They are.
We were blessed this time to have our President Harrison there for almost all of it, so we were able to speak with him and get his thoughts on, you know, how we're moving forward, you know, as a synod, and that was encouraging to know. He's a liturgist, a liturgical pastor at heart. So, you know, there's some influences in our LCMS body that kind of drifts away from that at times, and it's really good to hear that our president is encouraging people to continue to worship as we do here in our congregation. So that was a good thing. I want to also let everybody know that he's here in Houston this week. He's staying here, and he's actually giving the service at Memorial today, Memorial Lutheran in Houston, and they are live streaming it on YouTube. So anybody that wants to get on later today and see that, I know we're going to do that this evening, but I think you'd really like that if you do that. One last thing about him, and a lot of people may know that, but he's a really big banjo player. And he actually, in his spare time, plays at a local pub at his home on Sunday evenings, and he said the beer sales increased dramatically. So he said, but unfortunately, it's probably from him that it increased. I also found a couple of those on YouTube if anybody's interested in seeing President Harrison play the banjo. So.
That's a hard instrument to play. I tried. Okay. Is there any other announcements? Oh, I was wondering, did Pastor behave himself?
No.
Most of the time, he's really good. No, that's another joy that I had, was to be able to spend a couple of days with Pastor. And that was a real blessing to me, too.
I want to thank you for taking over for me. Okay, if there's no more announcements, let's close with hymn 709. Please rise.
790. You had all the right numbers.
I got the numbers right, just wrong all.